I'm Deirdre Kennedy with PodTech.net. With me on the line today are Frédéric Veron, Managing Director of Financial Services Infrastructure Solutions with Bearing Point. Hello, Frédéric.
Hello, how are you today?
Very well, thank you. We also have today Ken Oestreich, Product Marketing Director with Cassat. Welcome.
I'm glad to be here. Thanks.
We're talking about active power management. So let's start with you, Frédéric. We've covered this topic of creating greener data centers in an earlier podcast we did with Dariush Babuti. So Frédéric, bring us up to date on the current situation with power consumption in data centers. How big of an issue is it?
Yeah, sure. I mean, obviously, I won't go into as much detail as Dariush did on his podcast, but just in a nutshell, and to further justify why we wanted to have this discussion with you today, Ken and I, typical data center today can consume 25 to about 50%, 50 times more than a standard office space. So it's a major center for power requirements in a corporation, and therefore requires specific attention. In a data center itself, the IT load on power requirements is about typically 30%. The other two-thirds of the total energy requirements and energy consumption come from a number of other aspects of the facilities, such as cooling and so forth. So everything that one can do to reduce power consumption at the IT load level by either optimizing this IT load and making it more energy efficient would typically gain, save a dollar on reducing energy consumption on the server side. They would pretty much save about $2 to $3 on the other energy areas such as cooling, etc. So we feel that it is very important to spend the time there to save this spending, if you will. The other thing is that between 1999 and 2005, reports that are available out there in the marketplace show that this power consumption in this area, in the data center area, has risen by 39%. And in today's world where we're looking at global warming and trying to green IT overall, the data center is obviously a key area to be looking at.
I think Dariush brought out in his podcast that it's equivalent to 1.5% of all U.S. power consumption.
That's correct. I think if I recall correctly, the number shows that we're spending as much power in our data centers as I think we're spending on our TV set at home, and God knows how many we have at home in terms of TVs and how much TV hungry we are. So it's a very significant amount of energy that you're using. Some people I've been talking to have been saying to me, you know, it's a drop in the bucket, but we feel that it's an important drop, and after a lot of drops, you do have indeed a full bucket, so we've got to start working on this.
But as you also say, it's not just a matter of the environment, although that's a high ideal. It's also a matter of operating costs for companies.
Absolutely. So towards the end of this podcast, I hope that we'll have the chance to go over at a high level quick return on investment to show our audience show our audience that actually indeed there is some decent saving there, and that beyond corporate social responsibility, it's actually a good thing for the bottom line of organizations to do.
Well, now, what kinds of ways are there to save on energy? Perhaps we can talk to Ken Oestreich of Cassat about this.
Before we start with Ken, I just wanted to quickly set the context. We view kind of three main layers of how one can optimize power consumption, especially in a corporate environment. The first one, and that's the one that Ken will talk about in great detail, is this notion of active power management, which is really optimizing, and you will see there are multiple ways of doing this. You won't go through this, but it's really optimizing the load itself from the server level, if you will, or the machine level in the systems environment. So there is here a set of initiatives that one can take to actually reduce that load. Beyond that, obviously, an organization spends money on power beyond what you know is used to run IT. There are a number of other areas that one can look at, which is lighting. Even though lighting actually is not a very large amount of the power consumption, it's still significant. There are ways of actually sourcing energy in a more efficient manner. So that's kind of the second area, which requires a lot of monitoring and optimization of energy. And then there is a third area, which is once you've optimized the power requirements of your organization, then obviously you can renegotiate contract with energy companies so that you can have a lower kilowatt hour cost. Now, this industry is still very much regulated in a number of states, but in some other states it's not. And depending on where the market around energy is, there is a good chance that one can save quite a bit in just renegotiating those contracts. I think overall across our clients we've seen something like 5% potential saves just by doing that. So those are the three main areas, if you will. And obviously, Ken will focus a bit more on the first one and actually a very specific aspect of the first one.
Well, Ken Oestreich is with CASAT, a company that does help companies create more green data centers. Tell us, what do you mean by this term active power management? Is there such a thing as passive power management?
Yeah, somewhat. So I think of passive, and not that passive is bad by any means, efficiency increases, things like efficient light bulbs, efficient cooling, efficient servers, efficient HVAC systems, even in the data center, consolidation, which essentially removes the number of power consumptive devices, right? These are all passive approaches, and they're important because, you know, when you're done and you've brought your overall consumption down. That's the moral equivalent of, you know, putting more efficient light bulbs in your house, right? But everybody knows that even after you've done that in your house, you still turn the lights off when you're not using rooms. So we're trying to bring that moral equivalent into the data center in the form of active power management, which is even after you've done all of your efficiency work, when things are sitting idle, and by things I mean servers, when they're sitting idle, they're using probably 50 or 60% of their loaded power and producing heat, consuming power, et cetera. So active power management, in contrast, is understanding what is idle in the data center, using policy to determine that and as well as what the importance of that asset is, being aware of the software that's sitting on those machines, again, what its importance is and how to gracefully shut it down, and then literally turning the asset off when it's not needed. Again, the moral equivalent of turning the lights off when you're not using them. So that's the active thing in contrast to the passive approach.
I would imagine that one of the issues with that is how fast can you power that server up again when it's needed?
It is, because people know that computer servers aren't the same as light bulbs.
Yes.
Right. When you turn a switch for a light bulb, you know immediately that something's wrong if the light bulb doesn't come on. You need the similar form of confirmation with a server and its software. And there are two approaches. There is the aspect of speed, and that is, you know, what you're limited by what the physical machine is and how quickly it takes to reboot, and a little bit of time also to ensure that it started up properly, which is part of the aspect of this, is you really need to confirm that the asset's restarted properly. But you overcome that by putting policy around the control itself. You don't just start it when you need it. You actually might want to start it in advance of needing it. So that's this whole notion of controlling power, not just by when it's used or not, but using a broader, more intelligent approach, which is this policy-based notion of controlling these things. So you're not constrained by the speed at which it boots up. You actually might want it online X minutes or hours before you need it.
Well, Frederick, you've talked about utility computing. The three-phased approach actually was covered in an earlier podcast with Bearing Point. Tell us how this relates to power management.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. The first interesting fact, we just did, Ken and I actually not long ago, just a quick survey of an audience in terms of what was their main driver for them to implement a utility computing environment, which just want to recall everyone that what we call utility computing is really a way to deliver computing capabilities as if it was a utility like actually the electricity and so forth, so that we can better support the business. We have cost transparency. We know exactly what's being used and we're being billed for what's being used. The reason why people actually, the key driver that those folks told us was actually around energy consumption. 44% of them felt that it was one of the key drivers for them to consider UT computing overall. So that just put things in perspective. The second reason why we're tying the two together is because if there are solutions out there that can help people manage power from a server standpoint, they tend to be point solution around power management. What CASAT technology brings to the table, and the reason why we're spending time on this particular technology today, is that while indeed they are helping us with the power consumption aspect, they are also part of an ecosystem of solutions around UT computing, and they can evolve from this power management layer, if you will, all the way to true utility in the environment. Ken just mentioned, for instance, that you may want to turn on the server a bit earlier than when you actually need it. And that's because they're able to actually monitor resource requirement from an application perspective, and with a number of thresholds and policies, they can anticipate how the environment needs to react to the demand on the application side. So it is, we view it as one simpler, less risky first step to enter the utility computing space.
Why hasn't this been done before, this utility computing?
I think, and I'll let maybe Ken expand on that too, but you mean the utility computing overall is somewhat complex. So people think about their end state, and it is a bit daunting to think about where they are today vis-a-vis where they need to be at that end state. What we're trying to do is we're trying to break it down into smaller chunks, which was somewhat the content of the podcast you mentioned from Pinaki Roy around the phased approach to utility computing. So that the idea is to break it down into smaller pieces that people can better manage. So complexity is daunting, and that's the reason why probably people haven't done that. I think there is another aspect, which is the probably the anxiety of people deploying such technologies in a production environment that they feel needs to be absolutely perfect all the time, and we obviously support that because this is what is supporting their business. But what we were thinking was that in what we're seeing is that if you start with active power management, the risk is much less. And then in addition to that, you may want to start with an environment that is a bit less at risk. So we're talking a lot amongst ourselves, and we are actually seeing people deploying these type of solutions in the development and testing environment first before they consider the production environment, so that if something was to happen, at least the impact would be much less.
So are you talking about the risk of security or the risk of your servers not powering up when you need them?
Well, I think it's not the powering up. I think powering up works pretty well. It's just, are you feeling confident enough that the reading you make on the system allows you to make the right decision to shut it off? So that's probably why people in the production environment don't feel 100% that they should really shut off the server. Ken, maybe you have another point of view on this, but I think this is kind of the experience that I've had with clients.
Yep, no, that's accurate. I think to answer the question, there are two ways to answer. Why hasn't active power management been done in the past, as well as why hasn't utility computing been done in the past? Active power management hasn't been done, I think, because there's been this odd tradition in IT that, oh gosh, we never should turn a server off. What if it doesn't come back? And the power supplies haven't been very sophisticated, and perhaps throwing the switch has been bad for them. Well, we found that, first of all, the one of the aspects of active power management is monitoring the software and confirming that it's shut down gracefully and that it boots up gracefully. So that puts that concern aside now. Also, the power supply technologies have improved sufficiently that the cycling that active power management gives them is a drop in the bucket when you consider their MTBFs and their failure rates. So I think that the market is now ripe for the ability to actively control power status for machines. So that answers that question, why hasn't active power management been done? In terms of utility computing, I think Frederick hit it on the nail on the head there, while it has huge benefits, and people are beginning to see this in terms of really essentially halving what their operating costs have been for data centers, it's also a big pill to swallow. So people have been looking for simple ways to get started with utility computing. And what we mean by computing, utility computing is policy-based ways to automate how your data center runs. Active power management is a great small bite to take out of utility computing and do that, rack up some wins, get comfortable with policy doing some of the control, and then you take a bigger bite, right, up until you have an IT department that essentially runs like a power generating plant.
Well, there may be some objections in certain companies to changing the way that you manage power consumption. How do you respond to that?
Okay, good question, actually. Actively managing power in the facility has been done for a long time, right? Whether it's controlling the lighting or the heating or other power status of the facility. So the concept has been around for a long time. Bringing it into the data center, this is the difference. You can't just turn computers off. And as we said a little earlier, the biggest objections will be from the applications owners who say who are very, very concerned that the software stacks come back to life in a guaranteed fashion. And the message here is what we're doing for the first time with active power management is speaking to the software as much as we're speaking to the power controller and making sure that things that the software gracefully shuts down, whether we're talking Windows or Linux or Unix or whatever platform you have. And then when the power is restored, ensuring through a number of different forms of monitoring, ensuring that the software comes back to life the way that it's expected to. So there's that level of assurance that your software service is restored when the power is restored. And we're able to do that now, again, through the miracle of utility computing and monitoring, so that there's a high degree of comfort with this approach now.
Well, Frederick, what about the financial aspect of this, the investment involved in making your data centers greener and reducing your power consumption?
It's a really key aspect. And like Ken was just saying, I mean, this is the return is very good. And I'll walk you through some numbers just to give an illustration of that. And therefore, that's why we feel that this is a very good first step. Just in a nutshell, from a financial perspective, obviously investment is necessary so that the architecture can be well defined, everything can be planned correctly. Even if one decides to start with a development testing environment, obviously this is something that requires some planning. There is investment necessary around software, very little actually in terms of hardware. And then it's pretty much time investment, if you will, time to design, time to plan, etc. When one runs the calculation, the model, if you will, to estimate the savings, our experience with organizations out there shows that obviously when you start with something that's rather small, the payback is a bit longer. And I actually hear, if I were to kind of give a few numbers, on a quantity of server of about 200 servers, which starts to be a large environment, but we'll see that there's some much larger environments out there, the payback is around a little bit less than 2 years. So you know, if you go back to the analogy that Ken drew a bit earlier on your efficient bulbs at home, I think not long ago I bought one, it's like $5, and I think you're getting the savings over the lifetime of the bulb of about, I think it's around $50 or something like this. But it's a very long lifespan, if you will. Here, it's pretty much you're investing a dollar and you're saving $2 within the next 2 years. If you run the same numbers and when you deploy the solution across many more servers, obviously the initial investment has a lesser impact on the total ROI. And our experience shows that when you're in the thousands of servers, and we do work with organizations that do have tens of thousands of servers, now the payback period is much, much faster. And actually, if you were to run the model and to look at the results we've seen on environments that have in the 5,000 server type of range, the payback is pretty much a year. So every dollar that you spend to actually implement the solution, you get that dollar back at the end of the year, which is, you know, typically what organization would like to see. Now, all of this depends on the load that you have on those servers, the type of servers that you're starting with, the power cost that you actually are experiencing depending on the contracts you have and so forth. So there are a number of parameters that impact this payback, but it's definitely a very good payback, very good investment. And here I'm just talking about the payback period, but then you need to think about going forward years after years. If I may say so, the organization continues to rack additional savings on top of this. So if you were to look at the financials for the next 5 to 10 years, it's a tremendous, tremendous savings.
Well, all of this sounds very promising. Do you have examples of companies or a company that has actually gone through this whole process and how it was for them?
Yeah, sure. In the active power management domain, just the first on-ramp, if you will, to utility computing, the very first company to pilot this saw savings within a couple of weeks, and it was a non-intrusive implementation. It didn't disrupt their development or test environment. The policy engine worked perfectly, and you know, in essence, they had a small bit of utility computing operating right from the get-go for them. So it was very, very promising.
Well, Ken, Frederick, thank you so much for talking to us today.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Ken Oestreich is Product Marketing Director with Cassat, and Frederick Veron is Managing Director of Financial Services Infrastructure Solutions with Bearing Point. I'm Deirdre Kennedy for PodTech.net.